The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of our Lord.
In our first song, along with Nancy and Barbara, we tipped our hats to the Feast of the Epiphany, which was yesterday, January 6th, which in the Orthodox tradition, the Eastern tradition, is bigger than Christmas and more important than Christmas. And so we, acknowledging that feast day, we also embrace our Orthodox brothers and sisters around the world as well. And then today, it's the first Sunday after Epiphany, is otherwise known as the Feast of the Baptism of Jesus. And the story that Betty shared with us tells us Jesus heading out to the Jordan River, John's already out there doing his thing, and Jesus is baptized, and then Jesus has a mystical experience. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because that for way too long, the church has portrayed Jesus as this larger-than-life superhuman figure who triumphs over all enemies and all evil. Arr! And now as the church, we're going to pick up that banner and we're going to do the same thing. And I'm sorry, but that ain't the story. Somewhere along the line, we've got to drop that storyline and get with the story to find out what's really transpiring here. And I'm here to tell you one of my little awakenings. I mean, we've been talking about this since the tail end of Advent. The light sort of went on when we entered into the Christmas season. Last week we talked about this when we moved Epiphany up a Sunday because Miss Pam and the kids were all here to help us with that story, and the light, I got to tell you, is still going on for me. So this is a new sort of expanding learning curve that I'm going to be inflicting on you folks over the next whatever, and it's this, that all of the stories in the scriptures, including the Gospels, portray various people having mystical or spiritual experiences, including Jesus. I mean, no one, and the weird thing is, for centuries, scholars have been, like we do, let's figure this story out. What really happened? Did anybody else hear the voice? And if they didn't, did it really happen? I mean, oh, for God's sake. I mean, really, guys, let's just stay with the story. He has a mystical experience that opens him up to the numinous quality of life and tells us that he is in touch with and fully embracing what the ancient ones would have called the world of spirit, which for generations now, since the Industrial Revolution and the so-called Age of Enlightenment, we have been poo-pooing and making fun of and trivializing and pretending like it doesn't exist when in fact it does. And now we're living on a planet that desperately needs the human race to come to grips with the reality of the world of spirit, right? And so here we are with the story, and Jesus is like, oh my gosh, hey, here's the voice, here's the clouds, here's the dove, here's the thing, having a mystical experience. And the mystical experience tells him something really important about him and the rest of the world. Anybody want to guess what it is? It's right there in the story. The message is, since you're all too chicken to pipe up, you are loved, everyone else around you is loved, all of the world is loved, all of creation is loved, and all the universe is rooted in love. And just taken to its next sort of mystical conclusion, and everything and everyone is connected. Boom, there it is. And Jesus, as you continue on, which we're going to the rest of this year, off and on, with the gospel according to Mark, Jesus engages that message, he takes it to heart, and orders the rest of his life right on through his death around that message of the world of spirit, that sense of the numinous quality of life, by embracing everyone and everything that he encounters. The message being, okay, y'all, as Betty would say, come on in and join me in this endeavor. Do the same thing. Now, there are, as we've been discussing since the end of Advent through Christmas and into the season of Epiphany, there's a whole bunch of people in these stories that are having spiritual experiences. I can tell you that the author of the book of Genesis and the first chapter of Genesis has had a spiritual experience that has led the author to ask the question, how is it that everything could be connected? And then the author goes, oh, wait, I know, everything is connected because everything came from God. Oh, so let's write a story about that. It's a story based on a spiritual experience. You see where I'm going with this, right? So now the challenge and, you know, the attendant joy, perhaps, is where does our experience connect? And so how many folks here have had spiritual experiences? Nice. Put your hands down. How many have had what we might refer to as mystical experiences? Okay. So maybe the difference then is that, I'll just check in with you, is it that a mystical experience involves sort of a burning bush moment, if you will, something really weird and kind of maybe initially creepy but cool happens, and as a result of that experience, you vow you'll never tell another human soul because you'll sound like a complete whack job if you do that kind of experience? Is that what you're thinking of as mystical? No? Whack job, kind of? Yeah. And here's the weird thing. It turns out, unbeknownst to me, I've actually had a couple of those of the whack job variety, and as a teenager, and I just wrote them off as fever dreams, and you know, have spent most of the rest of my life ignoring those experiences until lately. Now reading the scriptures again, going, oh my God, wait a minute! All these people are having these spiritual experiences. They're having these mystical experiences. And it's kind of like this thing that I've experienced back in the day. So there's the burning bush variety, but there's also, for many of us, there's the spiritual experience of the learning variety. I mean, and let me give you my version of the spiritual experience of the learning variety. I wake up one morning, and I realize a couple of things. One, I've been playing God. Again, thank you. And it's not going too well. That's the first sort of part of the experience. The second part is, and here comes, folks, the great shocker, I'm not God. Again, attended by this deep, deep disappointment in myself because I'm realizing I'm not God. And then the third part, which is where the learning variety of the spiritual experience begins to kick in, apparently now there are certain things I'm going to need to do both for my own benefit and for yours, because as long as I'm playing God, it's going to keep getting ugly for everybody. And all the while, I'm telling myself, it's fine. You know, they'll pay attention someday. They'll figure it out, right, while I blithely play God and wait for everybody to line up and get it together. So now I've got to be distracted from that activity. So there are certain kinds of things I need to do, a spiritual path, if you will, that will help me remember that basic little awakening that I've been playing God again, and it's not a good idea, and I'm not God, but that there is a God. I mean, this is, and so the spiritual experience of a learning variety draws me toward that reality. And it takes us, I'm convinced, in the same direction that the burning bush mystical experience whack job moment does, because it moves toward that place that affords all of us a sense of the numinous quality of life, that there's more than meets the eye. You know, we've done some odd things to ourselves over the years when we've had experiences like thinking of an old friend that we haven't been in touch with for who knows how long, and we have the thought, and the phone rings, and it's the friend. I mean, come on, people. Can we just say, hey, there's a numinous quality to life. There are ways in which we're connected that we don't even understand or sometimes even realize, and yet there they are. Or we have dreams, or we have waking visions, or who knows what the thing might be. I mean, it could happen on a hiking trail up in the Sierra. It could happen up at the lake. It could happen at Pyramid Lake, which is a whole different spiritual experience. We won't go into that. It could happen in a hot air balloon at 10,000 feet. I mean, it could happen anywhere. It could happen in our living rooms. It could happen at our kitchen table, where all of a sudden it's like, oh, for crying out loud, I'm connected. We're connected. It's all connected. Everything's connected. I mean, let's lean into this stuff, folks, and stop pretending like there's something wrong with us when that happens. It's a gift. It's a wondrous, amazing thing. And when we embrace those moments, and they may not be frequent, but they are, I think, pretty familiar. And that we can give each other and ourselves permission to just lean into them and discover what it is that they have to teach us, these spiritual experiences of the learning variety or the mystical experiences that we swore we'd never tell a soul for fear of being locked up. Either way, there's a message. And the message is, we're loved, and they're loved, and it's loved, it's all loved, and everything's connected, everyone connected. We forget that to our peril and the peril of the planet. Right? So what do you say, folks? let's all be our weird little mystic selves, right? Who are having all these spiritual experiences and can give ourselves permission to share those with each other, and in particular, what we learn about ourselves. I mean, there's Jesus at the Jordan River. No one else gets it, but he sees it, he hears it, and it tells him the deepest truth that we're all connected. So take a moment and think back in your experience. I mean, all those things. I mean, you may be like me where you've had an experience or two and you just kind of blew it off as a fever dream or some weird thing that, you know, makes you different from everyone else when in fact it does not. Think back on those and embrace those experiences. Welcome them into your world, which includes the world of spirit. Take a moment.